So let me go back to the kind of the theme of this series, praying a new story. This is a way of getting in touch with what God is wanting to do in our lives right now. What God wants to do at this point in time in our lives, at this juncture in our lives. Also, we can think about it as seasons in our lives. And so perhaps it is that God is wanting to write a new story in your life. Or maybe you'd say, I want God to write a new story for me. I'm desperate for it. It could be that you are in a good and satisfied place. I want to acknowledge that. Not everybody that comes to church on Sundays is hobbling in. You know, for a lot of folks, God is blessing you and leading you and guiding you. You can see God at work in your life. And so it could be that you're in a good and satisfied place, a place of peace, a place of comfort. It could be that you're in a place of joy and blessing. That's a good place where God puts his people. And I want to acknowledge that today. In this place, there's time for you to rest, and there is also a time to move. In this place, there's a time to enjoy, but there's also a time to work. Praying a new story is for those times of moving and working with God. Getting in touch with what God is wanting to do in your life and in my life. Now, for others, right now might be more of a challenged time than a blessed time. Every time you try to get ahead, something or someone seems to rise up against you. You're in a place where there seems to be more fussing and more frustration. A place that feels kind of down and maybe you feel depressed. A place that looks bleak and hopeless. You're not sure if God is aware of your situation or if God cares enough about you to do anything. I tell you that God does care and that God is aware. Even when we feel stuck, neck deep in lack and in want. Even at that juncture, even in that season, we can know that God is at work. The kind of praying that puts us in touch with what God is doing is what I call humbled praying, and that's what I want to look at today. Humbled praying. It is a kind of praying where we acknowledge God for who God is and what God does. So that's the first important aspect, acknowledging who God is and what God does. It also acknowledges who we are and what it is that we have done. And then thirdly, it acknowledges the change that we aspire to in our relationship with God. So those three components are an important part, an essential ingredient to what I call humbled praying. And we see this kind of praying in Nehemiah's story in chapter 9. So I want to draw out these three parts of humbled praying from the passage here. So I'm going to bounce around from different parts of that chapter in chapter 9, and then also at the end I'll refer to chapter 10. So the first component of humble praying is simply the recognition of God, you are. God, you are. And so in this prayer in Nehemiah chapter 9, we see how it is that God is acknowledged and recognized for who God is. So in verses 5 and 6, it says this, in this prayer, blessed be your glorious name, O God, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. Verse 6, you alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all the starry host, the earth and all that is in it, and the seas and all that fill it. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. This prayer is acknowledging God for who God is. Going on in verses 7 and 8, you are the Lord God. You chose Abram, and you brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and you named him Abraham. You found his heart faithful to you, and you made a covenant with him to give to his descendants a wonderful land. You have kept your promise because you are righteous. You are righteous, acknowledging God for who God is. And it goes on throughout this chapter. God, you are. God, you have heard. God, you led. God, you forgave. God, you told. God, you warned us. Verse 18 is a particularly beautiful verse to me. It says about God, you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. We see this verse, this beautiful description of who God is throughout the Old Testament. It's not just here in Nehemiah. We find it in the Psalms. We find it in the books of history that relate the history of this old Israelite people. This is who God is. And humbled praying, it starts there. God, you're compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And it goes on, you did not desert your people. It goes on from there about who God is and what God did. I encourage you, spend some time in Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, and mark down all the places where it mentions something about who God is, or maybe what God has done. Because the God who wrote a new story for Nehemiah is able to write a new story for you and me. For us to be able to get in touch with that new story, our focus has to move forward, and our focus has to be centered on God. Last night when we were worshiping together at Freedom Hope, Pastor Adam had a wonderful challenge to us. And he talked about how it is that if we're always looking backward, let's say we're going this way and we're always looking backward at our past, at something in the past, there are at least two things we're not going to notice. We're not going to notice as we approach something that we might run into, but we're also not going to have eyes to see what God is doing out in front of us. Because we're always looking back. And so a part of acknowledging who God is being focused on Him and being able to move toward God and move with God and be centered on God. So to focus and center, start here. God, you are. The second component to humbled praying is this recognition. The first is God, you are. The second is I am not. I am not. And we might even add the word God in there as a part of our praying. God, I am not. Verse 16 says this, but our ancestors became arrogant and stiff-necked. And that's just a way of saying these people had become proud and stubborn. And they did not obey your commands. Verse 17, they refused to listen and they failed to remember the miracles that you performed among them. In this prayer, it's acknowledging and recognizing who the people had not been. It also acknowledged who they had been. They had been arrogant and stubborn, not humble, and not movable by God. They refused to listen. They had deaf ears, as it were, and they failed to remember all that God had performed. So often in my life, when I become kind of inward focused, on things that are happening, difficulties and struggles that I'm having. And I begin to kind of that inward glance. Things become very, very inward. One of the first things to go is being able to look up and see and know and recognize all of the incredible things that God has done for me, in me, for my family, in my family. And I'm so focused on myself and on my problems and my struggles and challenges that I fail to see and recognize who God is and what God has done. And many times that can put me in a similar place as these people are described. God, this is who we are. We've become arrogant and stubborn. We don't listen to you like we used to. We don't remember you like we used to. Verse 26 goes on to talk about how the things that they are not. It says this, but they were disobedient. They rebelled against you, Lord. They turned their backs on your law. They killed your prophets who had warned them in order to turn them back to you. Acknowledging, Lord, who I am and who I am not. Humbled praying includes this aspect. As you go through most of chapter 9, it is a prayer. Chapter 9 is mostly a prayer that involves recognizing who God is, but it also involves owning sin before God. We were arrogant and stubborn. Not somebody else, Lord, but me. I was disobedient and rebellious. We were disobedient and rebellious. These are the words of confession, That is a part of us as humans coming to God and seeking to have a right relationship with God. God, forgive me for my sin. God, forgive me for what I did. God, forgive me for what I said. God, forgive me for my attitude. And Lord, I confess it before you. And confession is our way of humbling ourselves, of being humbled before the Lord, of acknowledging the things that we've messed up on and the sins that we've committed. It's one thing to simply ask God to forgive us. It's a little bit of an added thing to own that and say, Lord, this is what I've done. And I know that it is sin. And I confess it to you. That's what is happening here in these words of confession. These words are words of a people who own their sin and they confess it. There's no longer any covering it up, no more justifying it or rationalizing it or excusing it. No more shifting the blame to someone else or to adverse circumstances in my life or shifting the blame to unfortunate upbringing. It's me, Lord. It's me, O Lord, in need of prayer. It's me, O God. It's me, O Lord, in need of confession and forgiveness. As you take time with chapter 9, mark down the places where this prayer includes owning the sin. To get in touch with a new story that God wants to write in our lives, we also must come to the place where we own our sin. Yes, it requires some self-awareness. It requires the ability to look inward and see and recognize and acknowledge our lives, our faults, our sins, our ways that have been hurtful and harmful, acknowledging it ourselves, for ourselves, owning it. It requires us being able and willing to look inside and recognize the places where we are arrogant and stubborn and stuck in our old ways, the ways that we have been disobedient and rebellious, stuck in our old attitudes and behaviors. So, to own and confess our sin, start here with the Lord. Lord, I am not. Lord, you are God. I am not. Lord, you are gracious. And I confess that there are times I am not. Lord, you're forgiving. And Lord, I confess there are times, and I've really wrestled with this one, Lord. I have tried to forgive, but I cannot forgive. I've tried, and I confess it to you. I confess my lack of capacity, my lack of capability. I confess it to you. I confess my humanity to you. Lord, I am not. Your confession today may not be some dark, hidden sin. It may just simply be to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not able to right now. I cannot do this right now. And I confess that to you. And Lord, I need your help. I need you to strengthen me and lead me and guide me and give me wisdom and all the things that God gives to us. Because to make it kind of a cliche, God is God and we are not. Well, the third part of humble praying that I want to share with us today is the turn toward a new way. A turn, as it were, toward God's way. That's kind of the way it goes in our praying with the Lord. That there comes a time so often, and it may not happen in a single session of prayer. It might happen over a series of times with the Lord where we're talking with Him, where the Lord, through His work in us, through His Holy Spirit in us, there comes a turn. And we begin to turn toward the Lord's way and not toward our way. Toward a turn toward the new story that God can write for our lives. And that is expressed simply this way. Lord, we will. So in this prayer, there are words that simply says, God, you are. There are words that say, Lord, we are not, or I am not. But then there are also words that simply say this. Lord, we've made a turn toward you. And now, we will. We will. We've been stubborn. We've been rebellious. But now, Lord, we're in a different place. And Lord, we want you to write a new story. And so in this new story, Lord, we want to say to you, we will. We will. I can no longer continue as I have been, Lord, turning a deaf ear to you, turning a blind eye to you, going my own way as if you didn't exist. Lord, I cannot continue allowing the sin in my life to kind of rule and determine how I live. Lord, I want to make that turn toward you. And I want to say to you, Lord, I will. I will. Verse 38 in this chapter says this, in view of all this, we are making a binding agreement. These are people talking to God. Lord, we are making a binding agreement. We're going to bind ourselves to this willingness that we have and this commitment that we're making, putting it in writing. I've heard it said before, never put anything in writing because it'll come back to bite you. It'll come back to haunt you if you do. These people put it in writing before God. And they said, we are committing to these things. We will, Lord. Not only that, but we are asking our leaders, our Levites, our priests to affix their seal to it. So they are taking a serious step toward God in terms of commitment of themselves to God. They got serious about committing themselves to God's new story. They were stepping up to fulfill their side of the covenant that God had initiated so long before to Abraham. It's mentioned in verse 8. They're stepping up to fulfill, finally, their side of the covenant, of the relationship, of the deal. God will do this. We will finally do our part. They're writing out what they will do, and they're counting on their civil and religious leaders to join in is an indication of their seriousness. They all say it together. God, you have. Now, God, we will. In chapter 10, it continues. And there's a lot of things that they commit to that are peculiar to them and to their time. All of these things, chapter 10, verse 29, all of these things now join their fellow Israelites the nobles, and we bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey fully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our Lord. And then on through verse 38, time after time, they simply say this, "We will, God, we will. We haven't, but now we will." They've made a turn. And it's like they're getting in touch with God's new story for them. We will. They had arrived at a place where they were not only willing to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and maybe that was an easier work. Maybe it was an easier work to just go to work with their hands and their backs and their whole bodies doing laborious work, rebuilding walls on top of old rubble, hanging new gates where old gates lay burned on the ground. Maybe that was even easier than it was to make a new commitment to God. We will. And now, after rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, they were willing to allow God to rebuild their hearts. Lord, we will obey. Lord, we will commit. Lord, we will follow you. In prayer, praise of God and confession of sin seem to pair together to lead to a prompting of our hearts to commit to the Lord. Some track records when it comes to committing to the Lord might be checkered with both successes and disappointments. I know mine is. Nehemiah and his people had that kind of track record, successes and disappointments. And even from this point forward, it was still checkered with successes and disappointments. But remember, it wasn't them writing the story. It was God. And it is not us writing a new story for our lives. It's God writing that story. And God's grace and strength is sufficient. God's grace and strength is sufficient to enable and empower our successes with Him. And also, God's grace and strength is sufficient to cover and restore us in our disappointments. So, to begin the journey of commitment with the Lord, start here. Lord, I will. I'm not going to beat around the bush anymore. I'm not going to offer to you excuses of why I no longer can. I'm simply going to say to you, Lord, I will. Lord, you are. Lord, I am not. But Lord, with your help, I will. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word that speaks to our hearts and encourages us while at the same time challenging us. Encouraging us as we might desire and aspire for more. And yet, Lord, challenging us to take that step toward you. Father, today I pray that we will respond to you in the affirmative. That though, Lord, we might have questions and even some doubts, Lord, today, that we might be in a place where we could respond to you, Lord, I will. And so help us in this, in these days ahead, in this week ahead, as we seek, Lord, a new work, a new story that you're writing. Lord, might we find humble prayer to be useful to us this week as we interact with you and as we walk with you and talk with you, Lord. You are, Lord. We are not, Lord. But with your help, we will, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.